So looking at the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Beis Amid Beis, and there are going to be a number of issues that are addressed here in this daf, which is Nun Gimel for today. Amongst them, we have the issue of the animal carrying a masa, and a person is not allowed to allow his animal to carry a burden through Rishus HaRabim, unless it's in some way attached to the animal, such that it's a levush. It's almost like part of the animal's body, and therefore it's not a separate burden. That's one issue. We're going to have another issue that even when you attach something to the animal, and you'd normally be allowed to let the animal go in Rishus HaRabim because it's part of the animal, but nevertheless, if it's not tied down properly, then we're always going to be afraid that it might fall off. And if it falls off, the owner might be tempted to lift up that article and carry it for Amos and Rishus HaRabim. We also might have an overlap of Muktzah. There may be different issues. And one of the issues that's going to come up is what's called Tircha Yisera. And the Torah says that this is a day, Shabbos is a day of Menucha. And sometimes if you're too busy with your animal and you're working very hard, then that's prohibited under what's called tircha, too much of an effort, to exert too much in an effort. Now, just by way of introduction to our Mishnah, on top of a donkey, we place a saddle. That's called an ukaf. Underneath the ukaf is something called a merdas. A merdas is a cloth that separates the animal's back from the saddle, because otherwise the saddle could irritate the back of the animal. And furthermore, with regard to donkeys, which is going to be our first case in the Mishnah, donkeys, it seems biologically, Rashi says, they suffer from cold, so that this mardas will also serve not only to soften and cushion the saddle, but also to warm up the animal. And insofar as the fact that this cloth, which is called a mardas, is very helpful for the animal, therefore you're allowed to put it on the animal's back and allow the animal to carry it in Rishus HaRabim, because it's not a masa, it's not something that the animal is carrying, it's not a burden, but rather it's something for the benefit of the animal. So it becomes a levush. It's like part of the garment or the attire of the animal. But the only problem is going to be that if it's not tied down properly, we might be afraid that it could fall and the owner would be tempted to carry it in Rishus HaRabim. So chamor yotze bimardas, in principle, you could allow the donkey to go out with this cloth. However, the Mishnah stipulates bizman shehi kshurabo. He's got to make sure and guarantee that this mardas is tied down very tightly to the animal, so we're not going to be afraid that it might fall off. Now, the Mishnah goes into detail about different types of animals, and relative to that particular type of animal, they attached whatever they had to attach. For example, Zcharim Yotzim Levuvim. What they used to do is, very often they would attach two animals, in this case rams, together, so that they wouldn't be able to run away. And Rechelos, here we're talking about female sheep. I think in English it's called the E-W-E, is Yotzos. They could go out with a number of different possible things that are tied around them. One is called Shechuzos, the other is called Kvulos, and the third is called Kvunos. And we're going to see soon about the different functions of these attachments that are tied on to the rechela, to the female sheep. And Levuvin, for example, is one type. of something that's fastened, but I think we'll wait till we get to the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to go into detail. Ha'izim yotzo tsruros. We're talking about goats, and for one of two reasons, they used to tie the udders of the goats, either because they didn't want the process of the milk going into the udders to continue, for some reason they needed a break, or alternative, they didn't want the milk to fall onto the floor, so they would tie some sort of a pouch underneath the udders of the goats. And all this is permitted based on the assumption, the condition, that these attachments are tied down, fastened very very tightly. Rabbi Yossi Omer Bekulon Chutz Min Arachelim Hakvunos. Rabbi Yossi says he's not going to allow this. In other words, he's always afraid that maybe the animal is carrying a burden. It's a masa, although in many cases it's helpful for the owner of the animal, it's not necessarily helpful for the animal. However, there's one case where even Rabbi Yossi agrees that this is helpful, and that's Chutz Min HaRachelim HaKvunos. You may recall that Kvunos was one of the three types of tying onto the Rachel, the ewe. And the case of Kvunos is something that even Rabbi Yossi, who's very machmir here, he can allow it. And this we're going to get to way later on as to why Rabbi Yossi agrees in this case. We won't get to it today. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Izim Yotzos Tsruros Liyabesh. In other words, you remember that we allowed tying up the udders of a goat, but there were two possible reasons for that. One is called liyabesh, and the other is called lecholev. And Rabbi Yehuda permits it only in the case of liyabesh, where he wants to dry them up. In other words, he wants to prevent, at that particular point, it's helpful for the animal to prevent it from getting too much milk in its udders. But if, on the other hand, he's not interested in drying up the udders and the milk in the udders, but rather he's interested in catching any milk that might drip out, so that's already not, shall we say, an attire or helpful for the animal itself. You know, that's really external to the animal. You know, if the animal would be healthier if at this point the milk dries up a little bit, that's already considered a lavush. That's already part of the animal. That's mutter. But if you're talking about, you know, tying something up so that you can catch the milk, that's not mutter. All right, now we start the daf for today. Omar Shmuel. Shmuel goes on the first case of the merdas, which we said was that cloth. And Shmuel says, "Vahu shek shuro lo me erev Shabbos." In other words, it's not something that you're allowed to do on Shabbos itself. If it wasn't done before Shabbos, then that becomes a masa. In other words, according to Shmuel, there has to be some indication that the animal really needs to wear this cloth around its body. And if you were laid back about it and you didn't take care of it before Shabbos, then you've, in essence, we call it a gilui milsi, revealed that you're not so concerned about the animal. You know, if you were concerned about the animal, then you would have made sure that this cloth was prepared before Shabbos. Others say that, you know, we want to make sure that this cloth is tied before Shabbos, because otherwise it might be considered something that's not to be done on Shabbos. You know, you might come to tie a knot, you might be exerting yourself too much. So Shmuel insists that this process of tying down the cloth onto the back of the animal be implemented before Shabbos. Omer of Nachman Masnisa Nami Deka. We can actually read the Mishnah meticulously and come to Shmuel's conclusion. The Ketani Hachamor Yotze Bimerdas Bizman Shein Ekshura Lo. So it says that you're not allowed to put on this cloth if it's not tied down. Hechidami. What's the exact case the Mishnah is referring to? Elam, if you're going to tell me. She'ena k'shurlo klal. It was just a cloth that was put on the donkey's back without tying it at all. Pshita. Dilma nafla. Nafla. If it's not tied down at all, the Mishnah doesn't have to tell me that's prohibited, because we have to be afraid that the saddle cloth will fall down. It's not tied around, strapped around the animal's back. V'yasil asuye. He's going to carry it for Amos and Rishus Arabim. El Alav. So what is the Mishnah telling me? That if it's Eina Kshura, then it's Asur? The answer is Eina Kshura B'Erev Shabbos. It wasn't tied down on Erev Shabbos, and as we saw in Shmuel, it's critical that the saddle cloth be tied down before Shabbos. Michlal de Reisha, the Reisha that says that an animal is allowed to go out with this merdas, Ishek Shurul Omer of Shabbos. It was tied down before Shabbos. Shmami, no, we see conclusively from our Mishnah that Shmuel is correct, and the only condition and the critical condition that must be fulfilled in order to allow the donkey to go out with its merdas is if it was tied on Erev Shabbos. Tanya Nami Ochi, and we have it also in a braisa, Chamor Yotze b'merdas bizman shekshurlo me Erev Shabbos. So the donkey is allowed to go out with its saddle cloth only if it was tied down before Shabbos. And by tying down before Shabbos, the owner indicates that this donkey needs the saddle cloth. It, as we said before, it keeps it warm. And that makes it into a malbush, and it's not a masa. Veloba ukof. Now we get to the saddle itself. And with regard to the saddle itself, which goes on top of the merdas, is afal pishek shurlo me'erev Shabbos. The Tanakama here of this Brisa, we'll soon see Reb Shimon Gamliel, is of the opinion that a saddle itself is prohibited. Meaning, you're not even allowed to tie the saddle down on Erev Shabbos. And the question is why? What is the Tanakama's inhibition? Why is he opposed to tying down the saddle? And apparently, and I'm quoting here the Ritva, he says there's a difference between the cloth and the saddle itself. The saddle is by definition considered a masa. It's a burden that the animal is carrying, and it's not for the benefit of the animal. The animal benefits not from the saddle. The man who owns the donkey, he benefits from the saddle, but the donkey itself has no benefit. As opposed to the cloth, as we said before, the cloth, if the owner indicates that the cloth is very helpful for the animal, keeps its body warm, and he set that up already before Shabbos, that's considered part of the animal. That's not a separate burden. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af Bi Ukof, Bizman Shekshur Omer of Shabbos, even the Ukof is permissible as long as A, it was tied down, so you have to have a strap that guarantees that the saddle is tied down to the animal's back and it won't fall off. And secondly, you have to set it up in a way, Erev Shabbos, that indicates that you're doing it for the benefit of the animal, of the donkey. And what does it mean? You know, you're going into Shabbos, you're not going to ride the donkey on Shabbos, so why are you putting on a saddle Erev Shabbos? The answer is that demonstrates that even the saddle is helpful for the animal. Obviously, the cloth that we spoke about before, the merdas, that's more critical for the warmth of the animal, but even the saddle provides some element of warmth for the animal. And therefore, it is considered a malbush, according to Reb Shimon, but you have to demonstrate that by putting the saddle on an Erev Shabbos. Ubevad shlo yikshar lo masrichan. Now, Masrichan, that's going to be a sugya later on, has to do with straps. They are made of hide, of leather, and they attach to the saddle. And this becomes a strap. What happens is, if the donkey goes uphill and there's a burden on the back of the donkey, that burden is going to fall, down. It's at, by law of gravity, it's going to fall down, and it might even fall off. And if there's a burden on the animal's back, then going uphill it might jeopardize the burden. It might fall off. So what they used to do for the sake of protecting that burden and making sure it doesn't fall off, they would attach a strap to the saddle, and the burden would not slip back. So it was put in a way that the saddle would be higher up, so that the burden would not fall down. And what that is an actual masa. Why? Because it's really for the sake, not of the animal, but for the sake of the burden. So it's indicative of the fact that the owner wants to load a burden on the back of the animal, and therefore he uses these masrichim, these straps, and that's not permitted, because then it's clearly a masa. Ubilvad shelo yifshalo ritzua tachas znovo, and likewise, he's not allowed to suspend the strap beneath its tail. And what that means is that they added a strap to the donkey's tail, because if the saddle would slip down and it might fall off, so the lowest part of the animal is the tail, and that's where they would put these straps that would prevent the saddle, in this case, from slipping off. And once again, that's not beneficial for the animal itself, and therefore it's not considered a levush, but rather a masa. Boy mine Rav Asi bar Nosson me Rav Chiya bar Ashi. This was a suffix that was presented to Rav Chiya. Ma ulitein mardas al gabi chamor b'shabes. Are you allowed to place this cloth on top of the animal on Shabbos? Now, if you remember, we spoke in the Mishnah about the Mardas, that it is considered beneficial for the animal, and it's not a Masa, it's a Levush, and therefore it's Mutter and Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara is not questioning that. The Gemara is questioning whether or not he can put this saddle cloth on a donkey, even in a private domain. And then the animal could, of course, go out to a public domain. And this has to do with tircha. In other words, a person should not exert himself on the Shabbos. Amalei, Rav Chiya responded, mutter. It's allowed. In other words, we don't consider this a tircha. And the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion as to why this is not called a tircha, that's not appropriate for Menuchas Shabbos. Amalei, so Rav Asi, who asked this question, says to Rav Chiya, V'chima ben ze le'ukaf. We said before that you're not allowed to put the saddle on top of the donkey on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to put the cloth on top of the donkey on Shabbos? Ishtik. And Rav Chiya was confounded. He was perplexed. Now at this point, Rav Asi understood that, you know what, my question must have been so ridiculous that he didn't even bother answering me on this question. So at this point, Rav Asi wants to prove that his question is a good question, and it's based on a brisa. What do we have in the brisa? Ukaf shal gabi chamor lo yitatolenu biyado. So that you're not allowed to move the saddle from the back of the donkey directly. And once again, we could have said that this might be a muktzah issue, but we're going to see from the comparison to Mardas that he's not dealing with muktzah, but rather he's dealing with tircha yisera. And as we said over and over again, the Torah doesn't allow you to exert yourself unnecessarily on Shabbos. El molicha umevia bechatzer. What he's allowed to do is allowed to guide the donkey in a chatzer, and in such a way that eventually v'hu nofel mi'elav, so that the saddle will fall by itself. Hashta litol amrit lo. If you want to take the saddle off the donkey's back, that's prohibited. If you do it actively, directly with your hands. And the reason for that, it's because it's considered a tircha, is la nicha, mi boy. It goes without saying that it would be a tircha to put this on top of the donkey's back. So in other words, we see clearly that according to this price, it's asur to put the saddle on top of the donkey on Shabbos. And why was Rav Chiya silent when Rav Asi asked this question? It seems like it's a very logical question. Amale Rav Zera. So Rav Zera turns to Rav Asi and he says, Shavke, don't bother with Rav Chiya. We say in Yiddish, don't chepper with him. You know, Ki Rabbe Sfirole, because the Rebbe of Rav Chiya is Rav. And Omer Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Omer Rav Tolin Traskal Lebehema B'Shabbos. Now an animal, usually when it eats, it has to bend itself down to eat from the ground. The food is on the ground. But it's something called a Traskal, which is a basket. And what they used to do is they used to tie a basket with a string, a rope around its neck with food in it. And that would allow the animal a little bit more comfort, that instead of having to exert itself, it would just eat from this traskal. And you're allowed to do this on Shabbos, set up this traskal. Is kavachomel merdas? How much more so are you allowed to set up the merdas on Shabbos, to put this cloth over the animal's back? In the case of the traskal, that just simply makes life more pleasurable for the animal, more simple. It doesn't have to exert itself to eat from the ground. And yet you're allowed to do that for the benefit of the animal. In other words, it's considered part of the animal, this traskal. Is hacha here in the case of that cloth, which we said, number one, will protect the animal's back from the irritation on top, and number two, it warms up the animal's body, is the mishum tsar. If the animal is cold and it's suffering, and you want to alleviate the animal of its suffering, lo kolshke, you know, if you're allowed to exert yourself for the animal on Shabbos, for the sake of the pleasure of the animal, and that seems something relatively insignificant, you know, just to put the traskal on, then how much more so are you allowed to put the cloth on the animal? So that Rav Chiya Bar Ashi would say the following: there's a distinction between the cloth, putting that on the animal's back on Shabbos, and a saddle. And, you know, Rav Asi was very sharp in quoting a brisa that prohibited this, but the brisa was talking about an ukaf. And in the case of an ukaf, that's a saddle. And that doesn't have that same, you know, power to alleviate the suffering of the animal. But that doesn't prove anything about the question that was raised in front of Rav Chiya, because Rav Chiya's issue was about a saddle cloth, not the saddle itself. And that is Mishum Tsar, and for sure that is not considered a burden, and it's not a Tircha Yisera if you put the cloth on the animal's back. Shmuel Omar Mardas Mutter Traskel Osur. Shmuel says that if you're trying to alleviate the suffering of the animal, by putting this cloth on its back. That you're allowed to do on Shabbos. But if you want to give the animal tanug for the animal's pleasure, and that's the case of traskal, that's prohibited. Also, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef Amora Lishmata Derav Kami de Shmuel. So Rabbi Chiya transmitted the statement of Rav to Shmuel. Amale, Shmuel said, Ihachi Amar Abba. Abba is a very nice way of speaking about a Gadol b'Yisrael, a great teacher of Torah. And if this is what Rav said, Lo yada b'mili d'shabs v'lo klum. With all due respect, he doesn't know enough about the laws of Shabbos. Meaning that if Rav was the one who says that you're allowed to put a traskel on a behemoth on Shabbos and hang this bag around the animal's neck, that's not something that we could permit. Traskel is aser because that's already just for the sake of tanuk. So you see that Shmuel was very insistent and very emphatic about his opinion, and that there's a difference between the saddle cloth, which prevents the animal suffering, as opposed to the feed bag, the traskal, which is only there to provide extra pleasure for the animal. That's already called a tircha yisera. Now, there's a big problem here in Rashi. I'm just going to mention the problem because Rashi, when he interprets Shmuel and the prohibition about traskel, he seems to assume that the traskel itself is a masa, and as if to say the issue of Shmuel was in a reshus harabim as far as the animal carrying this traskel. But anything that's litanug for the benefit of the animal, like this feeding basket, that would not be a masa. The issue would be even in a private domain because of the tircha yisera, and are you allowed to exert yourself on Shabbos for the sake of the pleasure of the animal? So the Rav Moshe Feinstein has a whole piece on this in which he claims that Rashi didn't really mean it when he said it was a masa. Just pointing that out in passing. Kisolik Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera came from Babel up to Eretz Yisrael. Ashkechel Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes. He finds Rabbi bar Binyamin, the Yosef Ka'amar Le Mishmei to Rabbi Yochanan. He was transmitting the Torah of Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, "Nosni Mardas Al Gabi Chamor B'Shabbos," and that would reflect what we saw earlier in Shmuel, that a Mardas is permissible. Amal Leis, Rabbi Zera said, Yasher means Yasher Koach, thank you so much. V'chein Tirguma, and this is the Targum, meaning this is the way in Aramaic we say Aryoch B'Bavel. Now, what he means to say here is that there was a great person called an Aryoch. Aryoch is again an appellation of greatness, a giant. And when you're telling me from Rabbi Yochanan here in Eretz Yisrael, I already heard it in Bavel from a great Aryoch, a great lion, a giant of Torah. And Aryoch Manu, who is this Aryoch? That's Shmuel. So basically, what we have from Rabbi Yochanan now, where Rabbi Zera finds out in Eretz Yisrael, he already knew about it in Bavel in the name of Shmuel. Now, why is he quoting Shmuel? For Rav Nami Omra, Rav also said the same thing. As far as Mardas is concerned, Rav also agreed that you're allowed to put the Mardas on the animal because that will prevent it from suffering, alleviating its pain. There was a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel whether that heter would extend even to a tanug like traskal. Ella Shame Dahavi Messiah Bey, Rav Zera heard Rav Binyamin when he gave his presentation. He says, "V'ain Tolin Traskel B'Shabbos." The reason why Rabbi Zera said, Amar Le Yesha V'chein Tirgum Aryoch B'Bavel, is because in this transmission of Rabbi Binyamin, he differentiated between a Mardas, which is Mutter, and a Traskal, which is Osir. And that's the distinction between Tanug and preventing Tsar. To Kuli Alma Mias, the Gemara concludes that everybody, however, agrees that Mardas is Mutter, that the cloth itself you're allowed. And Maishno Miyukov, and why is the saddle prohibited? In other words, the Gemara thinks at this point that the saddle, like the ukaf, like the mardas, that cloth will also somehow warm up the animal. And the Gemara answers, Shani Hasam, the efshar dinofil mimela, that we're afraid that the saddle will fall off, and he might come to carry it in Rishus HaRabim. So I have here a note which I wanted to share with you. The Brisa says that you're not allowed to take off the saddle directly by your hands. And what you have to do is you have to allow the animal to run, you know, to and fro in a chatzer until finally it falls off by itself. So therefore, since the animal could do what it has to do in order to get the saddle off its back, and it'll fall off its back on its own, then it becomes tircha yisera. So when it says efshar dinofil mimela, the way Rashi is interpreting it, it's not an issue of he might carry it in Rishus HaRabim. No. We're not talking about Rishus HaRabim. We're talking about the saddle and the exertion of putting the saddle on the animal's back. And when the Gemara says, Efshar denofel mimela, it means that this is called a tircha yisera. And again, we have to introduce a kal v'chomer, that if you're not allowed to take off the saddle from the animal's back, then how much more so, you're not allowed to put it on the animal's back. Rav Papa Amar Kan Lechamama. Rav Papa says that in the case of the cloth, it will warm the donkey's back and prevent it from getting too cold. But Kan, in the case of the ukaf, meaning the saddle itself, litsanina. In other words, if the animal is in the sun and the heat of the sun is beating down on the animal is suffering from the heat, then the saddle will now serve to cool off the animal. It's the air conditioning system for this donkey. Lechamama islay tsara, litsanina leslay tsara. So if the animal is cold, it's suffering, it's in anguish. And by putting on the cloth and warming up the animal, you're preventing its suffering. However, if the animal is hot because of the hot sun, and you're putting the saddle on the animal in order to cool it off, that's not preventing it from tsar. Because when the animal is in the hot sun, it's not in a state of anguish or suffering. And therefore, the saddle is different than the cloth. V'hainu d'yamri inshi, this is an idiomatic expression that people used to use, chamra afilu b'tkufas tamuz krirole. In other words, a donkey doesn't get overheated even in the hot sun of tamuz, of let's say the month of August. Now Shmuel holds that you're allowed to put trappings on the animal to alleviate its suffering, for example, the cloth, but you're not allowed to put the traskal to increase the tainug of the animal. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges this based on a brisa. The brisa says, Lo yetze asus biznav shul velo bizahuris shebein enov. So a horse is not allowed to go out into a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos with a foxtail or with a red strip. Now, the foxtail has to do with ayin hara. And this is not considered a lavush, just to ward off the evil eye, but rather it's a masa. The red strip is a decoration. Now, there are decorations that you're allowed to put on an animal that goes out into Rishus HaRabim, but not this one. This one, this red strip, is something unusual, Rashi says. And therefore, it's not a takshit. Lo yetze azav bekishalo, a zav who has emissions that come from his lower parts, he's not allowed to attach a pouch to his lower parts to collect the ziva so that it doesn't soil his garments. And again, I don't know if we have to at this point go into all the laws of ziva, but once again, the pouch is not considered neither a lavush, it's something separate from his body, it's not something that he wears to warm his body, nor is it a takshit, it's just a pouch. And it's very nice that he wants to make sure that he doesn't soil his garments, but that doesn't mean he's allowed to wear that in Rishus HaRab. Now we get back to animals. V'lo izim bekis shebedadehem. You may recall that we had an issue that was addressed in our Mishnah about collecting the milk that comes from the udders of the goats. And again, there was a discussion about tying up the udders, and that could be more lenient, but now he's attaching a pouch to the udders of the animal to make sure that the milk doesn't drip and fall on the floor. And this is also considered a masa. It's not a takshit for sure, and it's not even a lavush. It doesn't really help the animal so much. V'lo para b'chasom shebefia. They used to muzzle the mouth of a cow, and once again, although you want to protect the animal and prevent it from eating in other people's fields, but nevertheless, this is a masa. This is not something that could be considered part of the levush. So in other words, the basic principle is, are you attaching something to the animal that's beneficial for the animal and that's regular, or at least it might adorn the animal, but again, it's something commonplace? Or are you trying to benefit yourself by attaching something to the animal? So the case of Izim Bekis Shebedadeyem or Parah B'chasom Shebefia, these are two examples where you, the owner of the animal, are trying to benefit, but it's not something that's attached to the animal. Velos Yochim, these are kinds of horses, Bitraskalim. Again, Traskalim, Shebefiem. These are the bags that we said, the baskets that go around near their mouth. And although that's very pleasurable for the animal, but as we said before, it's not a lavush because it doesn't protect the animal, as we said about the mardas. V'lo behema b'sandal shebaraglea. There's no such things as shoes for an animal. An animal does not wear shoes. And if the animal doesn't wear shoes, then it's not considered a malbush. Now, Rashi points out that there's something called a metal shoe. And that's interesting because the animal climbs rocks, and those could be dangerous for the animal. And therefore, if you protect the animal's foot by putting a metal shoe, that's not a masa, that's already a malbush. That's already for the benefit of the animal. So Rashi tells us that when it says here, lo behema b'sandal, this is not a joke. You know, we thought, well, animals don't wear shoes, so for sure it's a masa. Rashi says, no, it's not a masa at all. But the problem is that these shoes are worth money, they're expensive, and we're afraid that the shoe might fall off the animal, and therefore the owner might be tempted to pick it up and carry it for Amos. in Rishus HaRab. Now, it seems from Rashi that if you could somehow attach the shoe to the animal in a way that it won't fall off, it would be mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah actually codifies this in terms of horseshoes. Horseshoes are nailed down to the animal, and therefore they would be mutter. That's a malbush. V'lo b'kamea afal pishu mumcha. We're going to have a whole sugya about kamea. Kamea is an amulet that is very curative, and it's beneficial, and you're allowed to wear a kamea, but only a human being is allowed to put a kamea around his neck, these amulets, but not an animal. In other words, even if this kamea has a very good track record, and it has a chazaka that's effective, but we don't put it around the animal. For an animal, an amulet is considered a masa. V'zo chomer b'behema mi ba'adam, and this is a chumra in animals that don't apply to human beings, because human beings are allowed to wear amulets. Aval yotzihu b'eged shalgabi amaka. Let's say, for example, the animal has a wound, and we bandage that wound. That's already for the benefit of the animal. It's part of the animal's body, and that's okay in Rishus HaRabim. Ubikashkishin shalgabi ashever. These kashkishin are splints. They would take two pieces of wood, slats of wood, and tie it around with a strap around the fractured leg of the animal, and that's okay. Once again, that's for the protection of the animal, and it's not a masa. Ubeshilya hamedudeles ba. You're allowed to tie the fetus. In other words, the fetus is half in, half out in this case, and you tie it away in a way that it should stay attached to the animal's body. And that's again for the benefit of the animal. It's called a malbush. Upokikin la zug bitzavara. Now we have zug. Zug is a word that's going to come up a million and one times in Masechta Shabbos, so we might as well learn it now. A zug is a bell. And what you do is every bell has a clapper, you know, that little thing that goes back and forth and makes music. That we're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but what you're allowed to do is pokikin. Pokikin means you stuff up the bell in such a way that it won't make noise, so it's no longer musical. But the big question is, how does this bell function for the benefit of the animal? Lechora, a bell is something that you as the owner will benefit from. You know, you can benefit from it. So it seems that the bell has two functions to it. Number one, it allows the owner to locate the animal. The animal's out there and he wants to know where it went, so he hears the bells. But also, in addition to making that sound, which itself would be prohibited, he stuffs the bell in such a way that he doesn't hear the ringing sound. And the question is, are you allowed to take this animal now at Rosh Hashanah with a bell? Does the bell now have some sort of a status as a malbush, even though there's no musical sound? So the Braisa says, Metayeles imo bechotzer. That means you're only allowed to have the animal run around with this bell attached to it, this stuffed bell, only in a private domain, in a chotzer, but not in Rishus HaRab. And apparently, there's some sort of reason why it's prohibited in Rishus HaRab. And Rashi tells us this is not Mishum Masa. The bell actually is part of the animal's attire, so to speak, but the problem is a different problem. And that is, and this is going to come up again in the sugya, that it's mechsi kemolicha b'shuk. It looks like people, the spectator, this is called Maris Ayin, might suspect him of taking the animal to the marketplace to sell it. And in order to beautify the animal, they would put bells around the animal. And therefore it's prohibited because people will suspect him, even though there's no music, of taking the animal to the marketplace. K'tani mi'as. But what we want to get out of this braisa, as a kash on Shmuel, is what it says, lo sayochim b'tras kolim shebefiyam l'shusa rabim. And it seems that the whole iser about a traskal, which benefits the animal, as we said, a tainug, is only in Rishus Arab. Rishus Arab hu delo habachatz shaper dami. He's allowed, apparently, to set up this feeding bag, this basket around the animal's neck, in a chatzer, which is not a Rishus Arab. My lav begdolim umishum tainug. You know, Shmuel said that, you know, it's a tirchi yisera to get involved in wrapping this animal with this basket, with this traskal, for the sake of the animal's tainuk. And yet, the Bryce implies that you're allowed to set up this traskal as long as you do so in Rishus Arabim, in Rishus HaYochid, in a Chatzar. If it was Rishus Arabim, that's a different problem of Masa. But if for the pleasure of the animal you want to set up this traskal in a private domain, the Bryce permits it. And that's a proof to Rav, that Rav says we're allowed to do whatever we have to do for the tainug of the animal. And that's against Shmuel. So more answers, lo biktanim. This sayochim, the word sayochim, which is a kind of a horse, can refer to two different types of horses. The older horses or the younger horses. In the case of the younger horses, mishum tsar, that the younger horses are more sensitive. They don't have these long necks that facilitate, you know, stretching out and eating from the ground. And therefore, we could define the traskal in the case of ktanim, of young horses. We call them ponies, right? That's okay. That's already alleviating its suffering. And therefore, Shmuel would agree that you're allowed to set up this traskal as long as there's no Rishus HaRabim problem. And Dekonami the Ketoni, if we read the Brisa carefully with regard to this traskal, the Brisa brings the Aloch of the traskal together with the Aloch of the Kamiya, which was the amulet. And Dumya de Kamiya, now we're on the top of Nun Gimel Amid Beis, and it seems like the case of the traskal is similar to that of a Kamiya. And just like the Kamiya, in a case of the animal suffering from some illness, is meant to alleviate its suffering, so the same status applies to a feeding bag. And you're allowed to put the amulet around the animal's neck to prevent it from suffering, but only in a chotzer, but not in a Rishus HaRabim. And the same din will apply to a traskal shmamina, and the Gemara has that conclusion. Omar Mar, the Brisa says, "V'lo kamia afal pishu mumcha." Even though this amulet has proven itself to be effective on three occasions, so it has a chazaka, and you can rely on the kamia. And yet, we're not going to allow the animal to walk around with this kamia, carrying this kamia, this amulet in Rishus HaRabim. V'anan tanan. What are we going to do with the Mishnah later on that says, that the only time that you're not allowed to wear an amulet is in a public area, in a Rishus HaRabim? That's only because it hasn't been proven. And we're going to have a whole sugya later on. How do you prove the efficacy of an amulet? But if it's been proven effective on three occasions, and again, this can be a whole complicated sugya, if it's the same illness three times, or different illnesses, so forth and so on, but then it's permissible. Shapir dummy. So Gemara answers, well, Halchadami Shade of Mumcha, maybe the Brisa is talking about an amulet that hasn't proven itself. But wait a second, the Brisa says, Afalpi Shu Mumcha Ktoni. And the answer is, Mumcha Liodom Viena Mumcha Libehema. It's not enough that the amulet has proven to be curative for a human being. That doesn't prove anything in terms of its power for an animal. So the Gemara asks, "Umi ka mumcha liyodem v'lo havi mumcha lebehema. If the amulet is effective for a man, then why shouldn't it be effective for an animal? The Ritva has a lot of problem with this Gemara's kasha, because even in the case of a man, we're going to see that there are two different. If there are two different diseases, then the amulet has to be proven effective for both diseases. And certainly, an animal has a different disease than a human being, so it's not clear why the Gemara makes this assumption that if it's effective for a human being, certainly it's effective for an animal. But the Gemara answers, in truth, the amulet might be very effective for a human being, but it's not effective for an animal. And why is that? Other Islay Mazla, Rashi says that a human being has a malach, he has some sort of spiritual agent of God that protects him, misayele. But behema, lesle mazola, an animal does not have an angel, a heavenly angel to protect it, lo misayele. And therefore the animal is much more subject, much more, just 1 second, what's the English word I'm looking for, is much more exposed, much more vulnerable. Oh, that's the word I'm looking for. An animal is much more vulnerable to disease, and if the amulet together with the mazel will protect a human being, it doesn't necessarily protect an animal. So Gemara asks, Hachi, my, what does the Braisa mean when it says, quote, Zechomer bebehema mi ba'adam? As if to say that we're being more machmir in the case of an animal, because we're not allowing the animal to go out with an amulet in Rishus Aram than we are with a person. It's not really true. The problem is that the amulet in this case has not been proven effective. But if you would prove it effective, then Elchinami would have the same status as an amulet for a human being, and it would be mutter. So Gemara answers, Misavras akamia koi. We thought that this comparison between the animal and the human being was referring to kamia asandol koi. It's referring to the law of shoes, that with regard to shoes, we are more makil for a human being than we are with an animal. Again, we had an exception to the rule, if you remember, the horseshoe. But as a general rule, we don't allow the animal to be fitted with shoes. So it seems from the final maskana of the Gemara that an amulet for an animal is not a masa, but it depends whether the amulet has proven itself. We had assumed when we first started the sugya that an amulet is not considered a malbush, but the answer is if it protects the animal from disease in a case of an effective amulet, then that's called a malbush. Like we saw before, to alleviate the animal's suffering with the cloth, the mardas, that was mutter. Toshma, we have a braisa. Sochin umefarkasin li adam, v'ein sochin umefarkasin li behema. In the case of a human being, what we're allowing is to anoint a wound, some sort of a sore on his body with oil, and he can scrape off a scab from that covers the top of the wound, but you're not allowed to anoint a sore or scrape the scab of an animal. And this has to do with Tirchi Yisera. It's an unjustified exertion. Now, wait a second, we just finished saying that if you save the animal from pain, like in the case of a merdas, you're allowed to do that. It's not called tirchi yisera. My lav dika maka umishum tsar. Are we doing this sicha? And we're anointing the oil and scraping off the scab for the sake of alleviating the animal's suffering. So how is that different from the case of merdas, which we said was mutter? And here the braisa says that ein sochin farkasin lebehema. Lo, the Gemara says, we're not talking about a case of alleviating the animal from its suffering, but rather the gomar maka. In other words, the wound is already healed up. But mishum tainug, but now that the animal has a sensitivity, in that area as a result of a wound that once was, and you want to now give a pleasure to the animal, that's called tainug, that's prohibited on Shabbos. That's considered activities that are not justified on Shabbos. Toshma, behema shachaza dam. So the animal is now suffering because the dam, the blood of the animal, is congested. We have to bring in a veterinarian. Is ein mamid an osa b'mayim b'shvil shetitztanen. We're not allowed to cool off the animal. The animal is like got a fever from this congestion of blood, and we're not allowed to take the animal and put it into water in order to cool it off. But adam shachaz dam mamid an osa b'mayim b'shvil shetitztanen. If a man is overheated, you're allowed to cool him off in water. So here we have a treatment for the animal that's meant to alleviate the animal of pain, and yet it's forbidden. How is it different than merdas? Amar ula gzera mishum shchika samemonim. That this procedure is considered medicinal. And medicine on Shabbos, medical treatment is prohibited. That's gzera shvuster abonon. Because of shchika samemonim, because he might grind certain herbs in order to make medicines out of it. And the Gemara is saying that although we're allowed to exert ourselves for the sake of preventing the animal from suffering, but not with medical treatments. Medical treatments are prohibited because it might lead to the violation of shchikas samemonim, which is a malacha of tochen, of grinding. And we're not allowed to engage in medical treatments for the sake of the animal. So Gemara says, "V'hachi adam lami." This iser of refuah on Shabbos applies to a human being, and yet we said we're allowed to do this for the sake of a person. Adam nira kimekar. The only time refuah is asur is when it's obvious to the naked eye that this is an act, a procedure, a medicinal procedure. But in the case of an animal, this is obviously a medicinal procedure. In the case of a human being, he might be cooling off from the heat of the sun, and he goes into cold water to cool himself off. If it's not apparent to the naked eye that it's a medicinal procedure, then it's mutter. And there are many cases, for example, and I don't want to get into poskim here, about gargling and so forth and so on, that if it would be something that you might normally do, even if you weren't doing it for medicinal purposes, then you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Ihochi behema nari nira kimekar. Is it so apparent that the animal, when you bring it down into the cold water, that you're doing it for the sake of medicine? Maybe the animal, you know, you're cooling off the animal. Ein maker lebehema. And the answer is that animals, as a general rule, don't have to cool off. So when you lead an animal into water, you don't do it for cooling it off, but rather you do it for the sake of medicinal purposes. It's got this blood congestion. The Gemara now again has a problem. Vilabehema migazrinon. Maybe in general, medicinal procedures are not prohibited for animals. Vatanya, of course, we have a brisa that says, Hoysa omedes chutz l'tchum. If the animal is outside of 2,000 amah, and you don't have a way of retrieving the animal, is kori lavi ba, you're allowed to do whatever you have to do to get the animal to come back into the tchum on its own. V'lo gazrin and dilma osi lasuye, and we're not afraid that he'll go, you know, if we allow him to call the animal and beckon to the animal to get it to come, that maybe he'll walk outside the tchum in order to bring the animal back. So the Gemara says the following, that the reason why we don't make this gzera is because we're afraid he might lose the animal. And animals are very expensive. So for the sake of what we call hefseid meruba, a serious financial loss, we're going to lighten and permit something which otherwise would have been prohibited. And that's against Ula. Because Ula says that the prohibition against medical procedures applies equally to both human beings and animals. But in the case of an animal, we have another factor that should play into this, and that's the factor of hefseid meruba. Omer Avina, kigon shaya tchum shalo muvla b'toch tchum shalo. This is not a case in which he's violating the iser of chutz l'tchum. And even in the worst case scenario, if the owner would go out to retrieve the animal, he would not be violating chutz l'tchum, because the animal's tchum overlaps with the tchum of the individual, and this has to do with where you were konesh shvisa on Erev Shabbos. In any event, if you want to know the truth, then if there would be a chashash, a serious problem of maybe this could lead to an isa d'oraisa, we're not going to be lenient for the sake of hefsed meruba. That case of tchum was a different case, and in the case of medicinal administration, where there's a possibility of violating an isa d'oraisa of grinding, that's prohibited. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar. I see we don't have much time, but maybe we'll just get to the end of this paragraph here. Shchikas samamonim gufei tanoihi. This issue about prohibiting medicine is a machlokas tanoim desanya. And again, we're talking about animals now. Behema sha'ochla karshinin. The animal overate. Karshinin, a kind of animal fodder. Lo yiritzena bechotzer. He's not allowed to take it for a run around the courtyard, b'shvil shetisrape, because that's considered an unusual kind of thing that's only done for medicine. Rav Yoshia matir. So it seems that Rav Oshia was willing to suspend the application of the Eastern medical treatments for the sake of an animal. And Doresh Rava, halacha, Ke Rabbi Oshia, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Oshia, and that means that you could be makil and be lenient in a case of an isud rabbanon, which applies to medicinal procedures on Shabbos with regard to animals. So it means that the animal, the owner of the animal is going to get to such a situation. How aggravated will he be, that he might come to grind something for the sake of the animal? That we don't believe is a chashash. And the original gzera of medicinal, prohibiting medicinal procedure did not apply in the case of animals. That's Rav Oshia, and Rav accepts Rav Oshia.
On Shabbat is because that we might come to do something else.
Right.
And here, Rav Yoshua is saying, no, we're not worried about that. This is all, it seems to me, it's all extremely subjective.
So, Michael, a lot of this has to do with the original gzera, meaning as follows. If the original gzera, which was voted and enacted by the Sanhedrin, was an all-inclusive gzera, and it didn't have any conditions to it, then you're correct. But we see something about this enactment of that prohibited medicine on Shabbos, that even in its original enactment, they were preconditions. They were indications that the way that they formulated, again, you have to know in each case why, but I'm just saying the principle is, they formulated in a very limited way. For example, we allow medicine for the sake of a chola. We allow medicine if it could be understood that it's not really medicine. If you could fake out the spectator and say he's doing it naturally. We have, for example, vitamins. We allow vitamins on Shabbos because they're made of natural substances. There are so many different conditions that apply to the Issur Refuah on Shabbos. Now Rav Oshia adds another condition, that it's got to be something that for a human being, you're so concerned and you're so agitated, you might come to violate a melacha d'oraisa. But they never instituted and never enacted it for animals, because we don't believe that a person will be agitated enough for his animal. Again, Rav Oshia probably didn't know about katamon, the person is not so agitated about his animal that he might come to violate Shabbos for the sake of the animal, to alleviate the animal's suffering. But again, the point is that this, according to Rav Oshia, was a limitation in the original takana. And that's not the same as saying, times have changed. That's more problematic.